The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
My name is Julia. And I'm a single mom from a quiet suburb in Ohio. You know, the kind of place where everyone knows your business but pretends they don't. I've worked as a nurse for over 20 years, patching up strangers while trying to keep my own family from falling apart. My son, Kyle, was my everything after his dad left us when he was just a toddler. I raised him on my own, through scraped knees, school plays, and those awkward teenage years. But nothing prepared me for what happened last month. It started with a phone call that shattered my world. Kyle, my sweet 18-year-old boy, had been in a car accident. The police said he'd been drinking. Drunk driving, they called it, like it was just another statistic. Thank God it was mild. He rear-ended a parked car. No one hurt but the vehicles. But when I saw him at the hospital, his eyes bloodshot and his breath reeking of cheap beer, something inside me broke. "Mama, I'm so sorry," he mumbled as I drove him home, his head hung low. "It was just a party. I didn't think..." "You didn't think?" I snapped, my voice sharper than I'd intended. "Kyle, you could have killed someone! Or yourself! What if you had wrapped that car around a tree?" Tears stung my eyes, but I held them back. I had to be strong. As punishment, I grounded him hard. No leaving the house without permission, no friends over, and he wasn't to step out of my sight. "This is for your own good," I told him that night, sitting him down at the kitchen table. "I can't risk losing you to some stupid mistake." He nodded, looking defeated. "I get it, Mom. I messed up bad." For the next few days, I watched him like a hawk. He moped around the house, playing video games in his room, or helping with chores without complaint. What if he sneaked out? What if he fell back into bad habits? And that's when the idea hit me.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
When he was asleep one night, I slipped out to his car in the driveway. I had bought one of those tiny hidden cameras online. A discreet little thing that looked like a black pebble, with audio and everything. I wedged it into the air vent on the dashboard, cracking it open just enough for a clear view. "This is just to keep you safe," I whispered to myself as I tested the app on my phone. The feed was crystal clear, streaming right to my screen. Now, the first week was uneventful. Kyle didn't drive. He barely left his room. I'd check the camera feed obsessively, even when the car sat idle. "See? He's learning," I told my best friend Judy over coffee one morning. She raised an eyebrow. "Julia, honey, installing a camera? That's a bit much, don't you think?" "No," I insisted. After what happened, I need to know he's okay. Mothers do what they have to. She sighed. Just be careful. Kids resent that kind of thing. 3 weeks passed with no red flags. Kyle seemed reformed. Polite, helpful, even apologetic again. Mom, can I start driving to school? He asked one evening, his eyes pleading. I promise I'll be careful. No more stupid stuff. I hesitated, but my heart softened. All right. But you tell me where you're going every time. And no detours. He grinned. Thanks, Mom. You're the best. I regretted it almost immediately. The very next day, he bolted out the door without a word, keys jingling in his hand. I pulled up the app, my pulse quickening. He was heading to his girlfriend's house, Chloe, that bubbly girl from his class who had been around since junior high. It was her birthday, I remembered belatedly. Fine, I muttered to myself, just this once. I watched the feed like a hawk. He pulled up to her place, parked, and dashed inside, leaving a wrapped box in the back seat. Minutes ticked by. Then the car door opened, and there they were. Kyle sliding into the back with Chloe right behind him. Happy birthday, babe, he said. She giggled. Thanks, Kyle. I can't wait to see what you got me. He handed her the box. I know this is a big year for you, so I got something extra special. She shook it playfully. I wonder what's inside. My stomach twisted. What were they doing in the back seat? But she tore open the paper, revealing a blindfold? A silky black strip of fabric. A blindfold? She echoed my thoughts, sounding puzzled. Babe, let me put it on you, he said, tying it gently over her eyes. I'm going to take you on a trip somewhere special. It's going to be a huge surprise. He crawled to the front seat and started the engine. I leaned closer to my phone, recognizing the route immediately. He was heading home. Why? I hadn't gotten Chloe a gift. Kyle knew that. Was he bringing her here for some family celebration? My mind raced with possibilities, none of them good. The car crept up our driveway. I heard the engine cut off. Okay, babe, are you ready? Kyle asked, his tone excited. He hopped out, opened her door, and slid off the blindfold. Chloe's face lit up with a grin. Take my hand. Let's end her together. End her? My blood ran cold. Chloe nodded, locking eyes with him as she slipped a hand into her pocket and pulled out a knife, a sharp, gleaming blade that caught the afternoon light. Oh, God, I whispered, frozen in my living room. They were coming inside for me. Mom, I'm home, and I brought Chloe with me, Kyle called cheerfully. My legs felt like lead, but I forced myself to the door. I opened it, trying to smile. Hey, kids. What's... Chloe shoved me hard, sending me stumbling back to the couch. I collapsed onto it, trembling as she towered over me, knife raised. Please! I begged, my voice breaking. What are you doing? Kyle, stop this! But Kyle just stood there, watching. And then suddenly he burst out laughing. A deep belly laugh that echoed off the walls. Chloe joined in, dropping the knife to the floor with a clatter. It was plastic. A cheap toy from some dollar store.
Gotcha, Mom!
Kyle wheezed, doubling over. Oh, man! Your face! Chloe high-fived him, still chuckling.
What a pathetic mother you have, Kyle. Seriously? Spying on your own kid? We found the camera days ago.
I sat there, heart pounding, tears streaming down my face.
You knew? Of course we did. I'm not as dumb as you think. We planned this whole thing to teach you a lesson. You grounded me like a prisoner? Installed a freaking camera? That's messed up, Mom.
Chloe smirked.
Yeah, Julia. Overprotective much? Kyle's 18. He's not a baby anymore.
They turned and left, slamming the door behind them. I heard the car peel out of the driveway, leaving me alone in the silence. That night, I cried myself to sleep. How had it come to this? I'd only wanted to protect him, but I'd crossed a line. The next morning, Kyle came back alone, looking sheepish. He sat on the couch beside me. Mom, about yesterday. I looked at him, my eyes puffy.
It's all right, Kyle. I love you.
I removed the camera that day, tossed it in the trash. No matter what, I love my son. We pulled into the campground just after noon on a Friday in mid-August. Jessica had the map app open on her phone, yelling directions over the crunch of gravel under our tires.
Left at the big oak, Trudy. There. The one with the Spanish moss hanging off of it like it's trying to strangle the damn thing.
I laughed and swung the Jeep onto the loop road. Our usual setup since college when we swore we'd take a girls' weekend every season, no matter what life threw at us. This trip was supposed to be simple. Tents, a fire pit, cold beer, and zero cell service. We needed it bad. The heat had been brutal all week, and we figured the woods would at least give us some shade and a chance to breathe. By 4 o'clock, we were unpacked, the tent staked beside a quiet bend in the creek where the water ran low and warm from the summer drought. The other campers nodded hello as they walked past, mostly families with kids splashing in the shallows and a few older couples in RVs with their generators humming. Nobody seemed in a hurry. Jessica stretched her arms overhead.
I'm dying already. Let's hit that grocery store before we melt out here. I need snacks and something cold to drink.
The store sat at the edge of town, a single-story cinderblock building with a faded sign that read, Henson's Market. Inside, the fluorescent lights buzzed over narrow aisles stocked with white bread, off-brand cereal, and rows of hunting magazines.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
The air conditioning was barely working, just pushing around the same hot air. We grabbed chips, sandwich stuff, some fruit that looked like it had seen better days, and a couple of sodas, and then hit the counter. Jessica leaned on the register, fanning herself with a flyer.
Hey, we were hoping to pick up a six-pack. Any chance you sell beer here? This heat is killing us.
The cashier was maybe 50, thick through the shoulders with a John Deere cap pulled low. He looked us over, slow. The silence stretched long enough. He finally spoke, voice flat. This here's a dry county. No alcohol sold within 20 miles. Jessica didn't miss a beat, wiping sweat from her forehead.
Seriously? We drove all the way from Lexington for this weekend. Any place close we could grab some? We're not trying to party hard, just some to cool off by the fire.
He kept staring. I shifted my weight, trying to look casual.
We're just camping over at Pine Hollow. Not trying to cause trouble or anything.
He rang up our stuff without answering right away. The register beeped slow. And then he said, there's a place across the line. 10-minute drive. Little bar called the Crossroads. They'll serve you. Head back toward the highway, take the first ride after the old silo, follow it 3 miles till you see the only building with a light on. Can't miss it. Jessica shot me a quick grin as she paid. Perfect. Thanks, man. We'll take anything cold at this point. He bagged our groceries and handed them over, but his eyes stayed on us the whole time. We stepped back into the late afternoon blaze, the sun still high and mean. In the Jeep, Jessica twisted the cap off of a soda and took a long drink. Did he have to stare like that? I felt like he was sizing us up for something. God, it's so hot, I almost don't care. I started the engine and cranked the AC as high as it would go. And that probably doesn't seem any city girls out here in the middle of summer. We go quick, grab a couple of beers, and head back. I'm not sitting around a fire sweating my ass off with just Dr. Pepper all night. She laughed. The sun was still beating down hard when we followed his directions, but the light had that late afternoon slant that made everything look longer. The road narrowed, blacktop giving way to gravel that popped under the tires. Trees crowded close, their leaves thick and green from all of the rain earlier in the month, vines choking the fences. Jessica fiddled with the radio until it gave up static. This feels like the opening scene of every bad decision movie ever, she said, cracking her window for air. Tell me about it. I kept both hands on the wheel, the steering wheel hot under my palms. Remember that time in Gatlinburg when we almost hiked into that sketchy trail because some guy at the gas station said it had a waterfall? She snorted. Yeah, and it was just a sewage pipe. Good times. At least it wasn't this humid. Headlights weren't even needed yet, but the building still appeared sudden when the GPS said that we'd arrived. No neon, no sign at all. Just a low, concrete block structure set back from the road. Windows bricked over solid. One bare bulb burning above a screen door that hung crooked on its hinges. The lot held 3 pickups and a rusted van. No other lights anywhere. The woods pressed right up against the walls like they were trying to swallow the place whole. I coasted to a stop 20 feet away. We sat quiet, windows up now. A low thump of bass came from inside, muffled. And once, a man's laugh cut sharp through the evening air. Nothing else. No voices, no clink of glasses, no Friday night energy that you'd expect from a bar in the middle of nowhere. Jessica turned to me, her face serious. Trudy, I'm getting that gut feeling. The one that says, turn around right now. Same, I admitted. I reversed slowly, keeping the building in the mirrors until the road curved. Neither of us spoke much on the drive back. When we finally pulled into the campground, the fire that we had started earlier had burned down to coals under the heavy trees. We rebuilt it, cracked open the sodas, and roasted hot dogs like nothing had happened. But we both kept glancing toward the tree line as the sky turned that deep summer purple. The next morning we slept late, the sun already beating down on the tent walls and turning the inside into a sauna when we crawled out. A couple of local women were brewing coffee at the next site over. They waved us over, their faces shiny with sweat. Y'all look like you could use some real caffeine, the taller one called. Her name was Darlene. Her friend was Carla. We joined them, mugs in hand, fanning ourselves with whatever we could find. Jessica started it easy. So, what's the deal with this county? We tried to find beer last night and ended up on some wild goose chase in that heat. Darlene's smile faded. Where'd you go? I described the directions, the bricked up windows, the single light bulb. Carla set her coffee down hard on the picnic table. That ain't no bar. Never has been. Jessica laughed once, nervous, swatting at a mosquito. Well, what do you mean? Darlene leaned in, voice low, even though no one else was close.
That building's been empty for years. Used to be a feed store back in the 70s. Folks around here know to stay clear after dark. Trucks pull in, trucks pull out. Sometimes you hear screaming. Sheriff's been out there twice that I know of, but nothing ever sticks. Girls from out of town disappear sometimes. They say it's runaways, but we know better. Especially in summer, when tourists come through looking for a cold drink. Carla nodded, her eyes serious. My cousin's friend went missing 2 summers ago. Pretty girl, about your age. Last seen asking for directions at Henson's Market. Same story, Dry County, go to the crossroads. They found her car 2 counties over. Keys still in it. No body. My stomach dropped like a stone. Jessica's face had gone pale under her sunburn. The cashier sent us there on purpose? Wouldn't be the first time, Darlene said. Some of those old boys at the store got family ties to whatever's going on out there. They spot 2 women alone, figure you're easy pickings. You're lucky you listen to your gut. A lot of girls don't make it back from a trip like that. We sat with that for a minute. The cicadas already screaming in the trees and the creek gurgling nearby. Jessica finally spoke, her voice steady but quiet. We almost went in. We sat there joking about how it looked like a deliverance, and then just left. I can't stop thinking about it. Carla reached over and squeezed her shoulder. Good. You did good. Trust that feeling next time, too. It's kept more of us alive than you know. We left the next morning earlier than planned, and we never went back to that county. Not once.
You're absolutely mental if you walk, Sarah said, leaning against the graffiti-covered wall in Trastevere.
She was trying to light a cigarette, but her coordination was gone.
It's like miles away.
It's 40 minutes, I corrected, swaying slightly as I pulled up Google Maps on my phone. The blue line looked deceptively straight. And a taxi's 40 euros. It's 2 days of food. I'm walking.
You're drunk,
she slurped, abandoning the lighter.
I'm thrifty. Besides, look at me. I'm invincible.
I wasn't invincible. I was a 5'4" British girl. But at that moment, standing under the amber glow of the Roman street lamps, the city felt like a movie set built specifically for me.
Fine,
Sarah sighed, linking arms with the guy that she had met an hour ago.
Text me when you get back. Seriously, don't die. I won't die. It's Rome, not Gotham.
I turned on my heel and started walking, the cobblestones uneven beneath my thin soles. That was the first mistake. The second was the time. It wasn't night anymore, not really. It was that gray liminal space between night and morning, dawn, or as the Italians call it, l'alba. The tourists were gone. The street sellers had packed up their glowing toys and fake Gucci bags. It was just the city, stripping off its makeup before the sun came up. Now for the first 20 minutes, it was magical. I had my phone clutched in my right hand, the screen glowing bright against the dim streets, guiding me turn by turn.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's #1 prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
I felt like I owned the place. I was humming some song we'd danced to, feeling the cool air hit the sweat on my neck.
"Turn left on Via dei Pettinari," the robotic voice instructed.
All right, keep your knickers on,"
I muttered to the phone. The geography changed as I crossed the river. The picturesque, ivy-covered trattorias gave way to narrower, quieter streets. The buildings loomed higher, casting long, ink-black shadows that seemed to stretch out just to trip me. The alcohol was still humming in my blood, a warm blanket keeping the paranoia at bay. In my head, I was safe. I was just walking home. But the silence was heavy. In London, or back home in my gritty industrial town, silence is a warning. It means everyone has gone inside because something bad is about to happen. Here, I mistook it for peace. I was about 10 minutes from the hostel. I knew the street. I recognized the peeling yellow paint on the corner building. I let my guard down completely. I held the phone out in front of me like a lantern, totally absorbed in the little blue dot moving along the map.
"Just a bit further," I whispered. "Bed, water, ibuprofen."
I didn't hear him. I didn't hear footsteps, or breathing, or the scuff of a shoe. One second I was looking at my route, the next, a shadow detached itself from the wall to my right. It happened with such casual violence that my brain couldn't process it. A hand, rough, shot out and clamped over my wrist. Another hand ripped the phone from my grip. The shock was physical, like plunging into ice water. The world tilted. Now, most women are taught the script from birth. Don't engage, don't fight, give them what they want. Your property is not worth your life. Now, if I had been sober, I would have followed the script. I would have frozen. I would have handed over the phone, the wallet, the passport. I would have made myself small, invisible prey. But I wasn't sober. I was drunk, tired, and abruptly furious. The adrenaline hit the alcohol in my system and created a chemical reaction that bypassed fear entirely and went straight to rage. Pure, white-hot indignance. He took my phone.
"Hey, you puny thief!"
The guy was already turning away, phone in hand, expecting me to cower. He was skinny, looking like he hadn't slept in a week. He paused, just for a fraction of a second, surprised. That pause was his mistake. I didn't run away. I threw my entire body weight at him. I slammed into his back, grabbing the hood of his sweatshirt. "Give it back! Give me my phone!" He stumbled, spinning around to face me. His eyes were wide, dark pools of confusion. He shouted something in Italian, something aggressive. He tried to shove me off, his hand landing hard on my chest, knocking the wind out of me.
"No!"
I yelled, swinging my fist. It was a clumsy, pathetic punch. I aimed for his face, but hit his shoulder. It hurt my hand more than it hurt him. But I didn't stop. I kicked out, my sandal connecting with his shin.
"It's mine!"
I was crying now, but they were angry tears. Hot and frustrating.
"You can't have it! Give it to me!"
He looked at me. Really looked at me. He looked at the phone in his hand. Then he looked back at me, backing away, his hands coming up in a defensive gesture.
"Okay, okay! Basta! Crazy!"
He didn't run off with it. He didn't pull a knife. He didn't hit me back. He thrust the phone out, practically throwing it at me. I fumbled, catching it against my ribs, my breath coming in jagged, painful gasps.
"Take it! Via! Go!" "Yeah, you better run! Don't you dare touch me!"
He disappeared down an alleyway, shaking his head. I stood alone in the street. The rage evaporated as quickly as it had arrived, leaving a cold, trembling void in its place. My knees turned to water. The alcohol, which had just served as liquid armor, suddenly turned into nausea. What did I just do? I had just attacked a mugger in a deserted street in Rome.
He could have had a knife. He could have had a gun. He could have dragged me into that alleyway and done things that would make losing a phone seem like a blessing. Oh, God,
I whispered. I didn't walk the rest of the way. I ran. I ran with my sandals slapping loudly against the stone, my heart hammering a frantic rhythm against my ribs.
Don't look back. Don't stop. Just get to the door.
When I saw the hostel sign, I almost collapsed with relief. I punched the code into the keypad with shaking fingers. Wrong the first time, right the second. The buzzer sounded, and I threw myself inside, the heavy door clicking shut behind me. The sound of the lock engaging was the sweetest thing I'd ever heard. The lobby was empty. The night porter was asleep with his head on the desk. I tiptoed past him, my breath hitching in my throat, and pressed the button for the elevator. When the doors slid open, I stepped into the mirrored box and pressed the button for the fourth floor. As the elevator began its slow, creaking ascent, I looked at myself in the mirror. The adrenaline crash was total. My legs gave out, and I slid down the metal wall until I was sitting on the dirty floor of the elevator. I pulled my knees to my chest and buried my face in them.
You idiot!
I sobbed into my own skin.
You stupid, stupid idiot.
The tears came properly then. Ugly, shaking sobs that echoed in the small metal box. I cried for the phone. I cried for the 40 euros I was too cheap to spend. I cried because I was 24 and alone in a foreign country and I had almost gotten myself killed over an iPhone. Back home in the UK, I am a fortress of caution. My hometown is rough, the kind of place where you don't make eye contact at the bus stop. We have a reputation for knife crime, and every girl I know has a story about a hand up a skirt in a club or a car curbing slowly beside them as they walk home. I know the rules there. Keys between your fingers. No headphones after dark. Walk with purpose. Call someone if the street feels wrong. But in Rome, the beauty had seduced me into stupidity, and the alcohol had tricked me into bravery. The elevator dinged at the fourth floor. The doors opened, revealing the dim hallway leading to my dorm.
If I wasn't drunk, I whispered to the empty elevator, I would have let him take it.
I stood up, my legs still trembling. I stepped out into the hallway. I felt the bruise forming on my wrist. I checked the time. 5:42 a.m.
Hey!
A voice came from down the hall. It was Sarah, stumbling out of the communal bathroom, toothbrush in mouth. She stopped when she saw me, her eyes widening.
You look like hell. What happened?
I tightened my grip on the phone.
I walked. I just walked.
Told you to take a taxi,
she mumbled around the toothbrush, turning back to the room.
Yeah, next time.
The first time I saw her, I was walking down Fifth Avenue, my gym bag slung over my shoulder. Her eyes, dark and piercing, locked onto mine, and for a fleeting moment, I felt like the center of the universe. But when I looked away, all that remained was a sense of foreboding that clung to my skin like sweat after a grueling workout. They say you need to hit rock bottom before you can climb back up. For me, that moment came one cold January night. I just turned 30, and my reflection in the bathroom mirror revealed a face I no longer recognized. My cheeks were hollow, my skin sallow, and my eyes, once vibrant and full of dreams, were now dull and lifeless. I was tired of being ugly, single, and lonely, so I decided to change. I started working out religiously, paying close attention to my diet. Protein shakes, chicken breasts, and green smoothies became my staples. I took better care of my hair and hygiene, investing in expensive grooming products and following a strict routine. I forced myself to go outside more, pushing through the anxiety that clawed at my chest. Slowly but surely, I began to see progress. My muscles grew firmer, my skin cleared up, and I no longer recoiled at my reflection. But despite all my efforts, the self-loathing never fully dissipated. I was still ugly, at least in my own eyes. Yet I didn't hate myself as much as before. Baby steps, I told myself. One day, after an exhausting session at the gym, I decided to treat myself to a coffee from the new cafe that had opened across the street. As I stood in line, I noticed a woman sitting alone by the window. Her presence was magnetic, and I couldn't tear my eyes away. She was beautiful in an unconventional way, with sharp features and an air of mystery that intrigued me. When our eyes met, it felt like a jolt of electricity shot through my body. She smiled, and I awkwardly returned the gesture before quickly looking away. I picked up my coffee and headed toward the door, but her voice stopped me.
"Hey, you look like you could use some company," she said, her tone light and inviting.
I hesitated for a moment, then nodded. Sure, why not? Her name was Eva. And from the moment we started talking, I was captivated. She had a way of making me feel seen, truly seen, in a way no one else ever had. Over the next few weeks, we met regularly. Our conversations flowed effortlessly, and I found myself opening up to her about things I'd never shared with anyone. One evening, as we sat in a dimly lit bar, Eva leaned in closer.
"You know, there's something different about you," she said, her eyes searching mine.
I chuckled nervously.
"Different how?" "There's a darkness in you, but also a strength. It's like you're fighting something, and I can't help but be drawn to it."
Her words sent a shiver down my spine. She was right. I was fighting something, but I couldn't put it into words. Not yet. Instead, I shrugged it off and changed the subject. As our relationship deepened, I started noticing odd things about Eva. She had a way of disappearing for days without explanation, and when she returned, there was always a haunted look in her eyes. I tried to ignore it, convincing myself that everyone had their secrets. Then came the night that changed everything. Eva and I were walking through Central Park, the air crisp, and the city lights casting eerie shadows on the path. She seemed unusually quiet, her gaze fixed on the ground. "Is everything okay?" I asked, gently squeezing her hand. She looked up, her eyes filled with a mixture of fear and determination.
"There's something I need to tell you," she whispered. "Something you might not understand."
Before I could respond, a figure emerged from the darkness, lunging at us with a knife. Instinctively, I pushed Eva behind me and grappled with the attacker. The struggle was brief but intense, and I managed to disarm him, pinning him to the ground. Eva stepped forward, her face pale.
"You don't understand. This is all my fault."
"What do you mean?" I demanded, adrenaline still coursing through my veins. Tears welled up in her eyes.
"I've been running from my past, from people who want to hurt me. And now I've put you in danger, too."
As the police arrived and took the assailant away, Eva's words echoed in my mind. I couldn't abandon her, not after everything we'd been through, but I needed answers. Over the next few days, Eva revealed the truth. She had been involved with a dangerous group, and they were after her because she had something they wanted, something that could expose their crimes. She had been on the run for months, and in me she had found a temporary refuge. The realization hit me hard. I had fallen for a woman who was a magnet for danger. But as much as I wanted to distance myself, I couldn't. I cared about her too much. We decided to confront her past head on. With the evidence she had, we went to the authorities, hoping they could protect us. It was a risky move, but we had no other choice. In the weeks that followed, our lives were a whirlwind of police interrogations and constant vigilance. But through it all, Eva and I grew closer.
The danger that surrounded us only strengthened our bond. And slowly, the pieces of my shattered self-esteem began to fall into place. One night, as we sat in my apartment, exhausted but hopeful, Eva turned to me.
"You know, you've changed," she said, her voice soft.
I smiled, feeling a warmth spread through me. "So have you." We shared a quiet moment, the weight of our journey lifting just a little. For the first time in years, I felt a glimmer of happiness, a sense of belonging. I wasn't ugly or unworthy. I was strong, resilient, and capable of love. The threat eventually subsided, and life began to return to some semblance of normalcy. Eva and I continued our relationship, but with a newfound appreciation for each other and the strength we had discovered within ourselves. One evening, as we were packing up to move to a new city for a fresh start, I found an old photograph tucked away in one of Eva's books. It was of her, but with a man who looked eerily familiar. My heart raced as I realized he was the attacker from the park. Confronting her, I demanded an explanation. Tears streaming down her face, Eva confessed that the man was her brother. They had been part of the criminal group together, but she had decided to turn against them when she realized the extent of their atrocities. Her brother's attack was a desperate attempt to silence her before she could expose them. It was a revelation that shook me to my core. But instead of driving us apart, it made our resolve stronger. We had both faced our demons and come out the other side, scarred but not broken. With the truth out in the open, Eva and I moved to a small town, far from the chaos of the city. We built a life together, one filled with trust, love, and the promise of a brighter future. The darkness of our pasts no longer held us captive. I continued to work on myself, but this time with a new perspective. I wasn't striving for perfection or seeking validation from others.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
I was learning to love myself, flaws and all. And with Eva by my side, I knew I was no longer alone in the journey. In the end, it wasn't about being ugly or beautiful. It was about finding someone who saw the real me and loved me despite my imperfections. And in that love, I discovered the strength to face any challenge, knowing that together we could conquer anything.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.